Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios.
And good afternoon, Rich Castanova over here, your host for Buckhead Business Radio X. This is actually a special episode, very excited about. This is a new show concept that we're considering launching here from the Buckhead studio. And its working title right now is International Business Radio. And not by coincidence, we actually have a couple of gentlemen in here that know a lot more about the international trade and what's going on globally in terms of business. And I want to welcome to the studio. First, joining us in just a moment will be Dan Moss, but also joining us in the studio is, I was almost going to call you Tom Cash. That'd be a good name, right? But it's Tom Meredith, the CEO of P2P Cash. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, nice to meet you.
And what part of Atlanta do you call home?
We're in Roswell.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Been there for 22 years and love the area.
Nice. And we're going to start a conversation with a gentleman with the World Chamber of Commerce. But before we do that, just for our listeners, Tom, tell us a little bit of give us a little teaser. What will you be chatting with us about?
Well, P2P Cash has started a company that sends money to phones on a global basis, and we do it for free.
That's the zinger right there. I mean, I've been not only reading your questions in your bio, but the I looked at your 19-page PowerPoint, and
we're working on getting it to fewer slides.
Okay, yeah, I thought you were going to go to 20 or whatever. Yeah, just cap it off. But no, I it's all very clear, crystal clear, except for how does that work in terms of business model? Don't answer that question right now. We're going to jump into that in just a moment. But first up, our first guest in the studio joining us, actually back in the studio, it's been a while, but Dan Moss, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Rich. Glad to be here.
Yeah, yeah. And I know we had you back when we were talking about investing and startup and some other funding topics in the studio. But today, you're one of two first guests for this show concept, International Business Radio. And you are the, let me just give you an audience and remind yourself if you've forgotten some of your titles. You are the Vice President of the World Chamber of Commerce and Chairman of the Investment Economic Development Committee. You've been involved in the investment and business community in Buckhead. I knew Atlanta, but I didn't know you had that big of a tie to Buckhead for over 40 years. You've also taught at the Emory University Center for Lifelong Learning over 35 years. Wow.
That's right. That's right.
You're a busy man.
I stay busy. That is right. There's always stuff to do.
Yeah. And so today you're going to be, we're going to be focusing on your position and title and all the good things happening at this World Chamber of Commerce. For folks that never heard of that, feel free to elaborate. Tell us a little backstory and about the chamber.
Okay. Well, the World Chamber of Commerce is not the International Chamber of Commerce, which is based in Paris, although okay. We are affiliated with them.
Oh, okay.
The World Chamber of Commerce was founded here in Atlanta by a woman named Solange Warner, who's a Chilean national who grew up in Europe and speaks multiple languages. So she founded it and asked me to come on as vice president, treasurer, and so forth. And I told her I'm more interested in investment and economic development, and that fits right in with what we're doing today, what we're talking about here today, with startups and creating jobs, creating wealth, creating economic opportunity, increasing trade, expanding businesses that are here over abroad, bringing businesses that are abroad over here who want to expand and grow here. So these are some of the efforts of the World Chamber. And the World Chamber of Commerce is very closely connected to the Consular Corps and the Ambassador Corps here in Atlanta. You may not realize that most people don't realize that there are 81 international consulates here in Atlanta. I think we're the third most outside of Washington, and new ones every year. And we're having an event tomorrow that will feature many of the consuls and ambassadors. We have four ambassadors coming in from Washington, the ambassador of Barbados, the Bahamas, Dominica. We have the U.S. ambassador that was over Latin America will be there. He's our chairman of the World Chamber. The president of the World Chamber is Consul General of Lithuania, and numerous other consuls. We have the Consul of France, the Consul of Germany, Consul of Denmark will be at this event. If you want to register for that, go to our website. That is located at www.worldchamberc.org. emory.org and register for this event at Emory University, which will largely be on medical advances, medical technology, and professors of medicine at Emory will also be present, as well as these international.
And I've heard in the past events you've had upwards of 200 to 400 folks attending, and this event's almost sold out.
It almost is, but there may still be a few spaces, and you always get a few no-shows, so people that are interested should just register.
It always kind of balances out, so as far as no-shows, it's always amazing to me. I used to promote events, and people would buy a ticket and then just not show up, and I was talking to another fellow promoter, and they're like, that's fine with us, whatever, it's more money. You know. But back to this event, so will this be speakers in a conference or more networking, or what's the kind of the format? I know it's from 5:30 to 7:30, I believe. After hours?
Yes, it is. Of course, we want people to network and get to know these people. And as three of the ambassadors have come here from Washington, we want to be productive for them. So get to know them. Maybe you want to do business in Barbados or Dominica or Germany or something.
Yeah.
And now's your chance.
Well, I was very excited to be honored to have you invite me as an attendee as well, because we're not necessarily looking to do business over there, but we definitely want to talk about trade going on. And I knew that, correct me if I'm wrong, the number I've heard is about 36 international chambers of commerce.
Yeah.
38, or is there more? Or
Well, I think they're 36.
Okay.
Maybe it's 38 now. Bilateral chambers.
Okay.
Bilateral chambers would be United States, Great Britain,
right.
U.S., Israel, France,
Sweden.
All those have bilateral chambers, and they're focused on one country and a relationship to the United States.
Okay. And a tweet just came in about the conversation we're having right now, so let me turn off my phone here. But the now, what I didn't realize is, well, one, I knew out our window, for example, is the French consulate, right outside our window here at the Buckhead Studios at the near Lenox and the JW Marriott. But I didn't realize there's 81.
They're 81.
Wow.
Yes. And new ones all the time.
And third only to D.C.
Now, some of these are, some of these are honorary consulates.
Okay.
Where they don't need a full-time consul.
Could I be an honorary consul of Buckhead? Is that possible or no?
Well, you'd have to probably be in a foreign country.
Right, exactly.
I think you're already Start here
there.
In Buckhead.
Yeah. Well, I've traveled through Cartersville. I don't know if that counts or no. Okay. Seriously, let's get back to, I did have one follow-up question on the World Chamber. I know your involvement here in the, from investment economic development here in Buckhead, but when did the World Chamber here for Atlanta, when did it actually start?
I think it started about 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay, wow.
I was not there at the founding.
Yeah.
I joined later.
Sure. Okay, so now we have a general idea of what y'all do. And the what other meetings besides tomorrow night's events? What's some examples of functions and the purpose for gatherings?
Well, we meet at different places around town. That keeps our costs low, and it also helps emphasize, the venue helps emphasize the meeting. Like tomorrow is going to be on medical.
Right,
it's
going
to be near the medical center of Emory.
Mm-hmm.
Last fall, we did one at UPS on logistics and international logistics, and it was held at the UPS headquarters.
Right.
We've done them on government policy, and we held that under the gold dome of the Capitol.
Nice, wow.
And gave awards. We've had them on broadcasting and had it at Georgia Public Broadcasting.
Oh, nice.
And television and media and movies and entertainment. We had it there.
Nice. Yeah. I was going to throw our hat in the ring, and next time you do a media event, you can have it here, but I'm not sure if we have room for 200 or 300 people.
No, you need
a little crowd.
Maybe you could get a bigger room.
Yeah. Yeah. Or we'll do our rooftop deck or whatever. Yeah.
We could do that.
Nice. Okay. So, I know we want to talk to Tom and about P2P cash, and we'll maybe have some interesting follow-up questions, but, what else about any other projects or events outside of the World Chamber you're involved in you want to chat about? Or
Yes, I'm interested in helping on other projects, particularly lending. We find a lot of lending opportunities. I help with some lending brokers. And there's a lot of lending that's going on. It's just not going through banks.
It may
go from international investors, come through hedge funds, family offices, wealthy individuals, corporations. An amazing number of some really big projects in hundreds of millions.
Wow.
And there is construction money out there available, even as much as 100% if we work it right.
Well, so that's kind of your day job or the other hat you wear when you're not being the VP of World Chamber?
That's one of them. I'm also helping launch a startup which has an amazing invention in oil spill cleanup.
Really?
That takes agricultural waste fibers that they soak up oil up to 20 times their weight in oil and then turns it into compost. So it's sustainable, green, bio, it's all the right things to clean up an ecological mess and turn it into compost.
I mean, talk about a win-win. Wow.
It's a win-win.
And there's money there at the same time.
It's an $11 billion a year market.
Jeez, it's just...
At least.
Right.
Some years, much more than that. The BP oil spill was $42 billion and still counting.
Wow. Very impressive, and I appreciate you being here in the studio. And tell the folks one more time about the how to connect for the World Chamber and find out more about what y'all are doing.
Yeah, the best way to do it is go to our website, which is www.worldchamberc.org, worldchamberc.org. And you can click on events, and that'll take you to several events. And this one is the current one, which is held at Emory.
And I was going to ask this later, but before I forget, so how do folks get involved? What's kind of the criteria? Who do you look for in terms of membership and the makeup?
Well, people can join, corporations can join, businesses can join. Their individual memberships is starting at $100 a year, and then that entitles you to come to the events at a reduced price, usually 50% off.
Okay.
We're looking for people that like international business, international commerce, economic development, creating
Yeah, so they
jobs.
Really need to have some type of connection or interest beyond, the perimeter, right?
For it to be, most
viable,
effective to
yeah.
them. Although you look inside the perimeter and now it's loaded with international businesses.
Yeah, that's true. And they need all the services when they come over here.
That's right. So you could have service providers to international people that come here.
I'm glad I asked that because I was being a little bit facetious or it seems like a dumb question, but you raised a great point. It's like you don't necessarily need to be doing business outside, but those folks coming here obviously need all your products and services.
Well, right. You take the Mercedes project in Sandy Spring. They're going to create a 1,000 jobs. I think 400 or 500 of them are coming into Atlanta from New Jersey and from Germany. Those people are going to need to buy houses. They need to open bank accounts. They have to have all the services. They'll hire lawyers and the whole works.
They need to get from point A to B. Actually, we just reached out to Steve Carroll, the CEO for Mercedes-Benz North America, and having conversations about having him stop by as well. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems like the stars are aligning, a lot of great stuff happening in Atlanta and beyond.
Yeah, they are. And Georgia has been voted the number one state to do business in the United States.
Yeah, because now Volvo's moving down here now too, or not Volvo?
Volvo went to South Carolina. We missed that one, but the Porsche complex is down by the airport.
Yeah.
That's a huge one. So we have a lot of international companies that are coming here.
I thought there's another car manufacturer, but maybe that was the one I was thinking of. But
I think there's one going in near Savannah. I've forgotten who that was.
Yeah. And finally, so how many members do you have in the chamber?
Well, our membership is in the hundreds, but our mailing list is over 12,000 now.
Oh, geez.
Business owners, professionals, law firms, so forth.
Okay. All right. Well, Dan, once again, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Rich.
And we're going to continue the conversation in just a moment, but let's bring Tom back in to the show. So, Tom, pretty exciting stuff so far, right?
Sounds good to me. It's been very exciting,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so let's jump into a little bit of background about yourself. And so you're the founder, chairman, CEO of P2P Cash, whose free money transfer program is the only free method to send cash to any cell phone worldwide. This is a very intriguing concept to me. Over 30 years experience in the computer industry, ranging from artificial intelligence to the early days of the personal computer, top secret federal contracts. I guess can we talk about that? Are they still?
That was part of the artificial intelligence
okay,
side
nice.
Of things.
Yeah. All right. And you're also the founder of VoiceLinks an innovator of voicemail and email integration, founded one of the first payment processing companies on the internet, pioneering online international credit card processing, consulted financial services industry, primarily in automation of mortgage origination and credit card processing, and finally a graduate of Harvard Business School and Stanford University, received an engineering degree in 3 years. Man, you are just a record setter here, and a pleasure to have you here in the studio.
It's, necessity is a mother of invention.
Right. And speaking of this invention, how intriguing is this? So tell us a backstory of getting started P2P. How did that come about?
Well, it starts really around 10 years ago. Okay. We were trying to come up with a solution to the problem the music industry was having with peer-to-peer file sharing, where kids were sharing music on a peer-to-peer basis, and the music industry was not getting paid for it. And it was a big problem. It was the first time music sales had ever dropped, ever, on a global basis, because people were getting their music for free.
Wow, yeah.
So we came up with a payment mechanism that would allow kids to buy and sell music between each other, legitimate copies. And that's the basis for the intellectual property. So we worked it all out. We actually had a working demo. We had a lot of time and energy put into it. So we had this peer-to-peer solution. And then there was this guy named Steve Jobs had this thing called iTunes. So Steve had a...
Let me Google him real quick. I'm not familiar with him.
He might show up. But Steve had a centralized solution, which became iTunes. And so we basically got out of the music industry. And when you get rid of trying to facilitate selling music, and you are left with sending money from person A to person B. Well, lo and behold, that's a $500 billion industry.
Wow.
It's big.
Yeah.
So every year, I think the number is now even more than that. It's something like $600 billion a year gets moved person to person on a global basis. So the interesting thing here is that we've taken this IP and we've basically turned it into a token that we can send the cash, or this token can be prepaid minutes. It could be frequent flyer miles, or it could be money. So we like to say miles, minutes, or money. We don't care.
Right.
But the same concept that we developed for the peer-to-peer music industry, we have basically, again, we've thrown the music out, and now we're sending money peer-to-peer using the phone as the mechanism, because in the developing world, people have phones. They don't necessarily have a PC and a fat internet pipe.
And music comes and goes, and but money is always, you always have a need for money, regardless of whether music interests. Now, where did Napster come into play right there? What was
Napster was one of the early file sharing systems.
But where were you guys?
We were right after Napster.
Okay.
Because Napster was declared illegal.
Right, exactly.
And they were put out of business.
Right.
But what happened is Napster was a centralized system, and I don't want to go too much in the weeds on the technology, but there were half a dozen systems that sprung up in Napster's wake that were true peer-to-peer systems. So you couldn't say, oh, there's somebody who is actively involved in the middle of facilitating music downloads.
Right.
These companies were simply issuing a free piece of software that I could find you on the internet, and let's say you had the music I wanted to download, I could just literally reach into your PC because we had this compatible system. And what we did is we put what we called back then an e-wallet on top of that system. So that's what we demonstrated to the music industry, which ended up going with a centralized platform.
Yeah. So back to P2P Cash. So what services do you all provide? You mentioned miles, money, or
minutes.
Or minutes, yeah.
Well, in the in many third world countries, minutes are used as a currency.
Really?
Because outside of the United States, you have to prepay your minutes. There's no such thing as a 2-year contract and a free phone in Zambia.
Okay.
So everybody has to buy a phone, physically buy a phone, pay cash.
Right.
They give you a SIM card, which allows you to get on the network, and then from there on out, you prepay all your minutes. So you buy 30 minutes. 100 minutes, you pick the number. When your time runs out, your phone stops working.
Right.
So you have to take then cash to the prepaid minute vendor on the street corner, which there is one in every country.
Wow.
And so this model is very foreign to people living in the United States. So, But that's how it is. Minutes are actually used as a currency because someone will say, hey, I need 5 minutes of time, and they make it easy for you to send minutes from my phone to your phone. Then you can give me a couple dollars so
right,
you can
just
keep
a
talking.
Transfer.
Exactly.
So talk about the free money transfer. I mean, it sounds like a charity. So the business model. So where does the money come into play if it's free to transfer?
Well, this also is, the concept. I ask people rhetorically, how much does it cost to use Google?
That's rhetorical, right? So I don't answer that question. Yeah.
You don't have to answer it, but
exactly,
but I think you know
nothing,
the answer.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Nothing, yeah.
How much does it cost to use Facebook?
Right.
These models are based on advertising-driven models. So right. You as the user don't pay any fees, but they're monetizing your attention or your eyeballs by showing you ads on a consistent basis. And when you click on one, that's really where they start to make some money.
Absolutely.
So what we've done is we've taken that same internet concept of valuable free service, whether it's Google, find out anything you want on the planet, Facebook, find out anything about a billion people on the planet. We're saying you can now send money to over 3 billion people on the planet for free. And then the way we monetize it is not through advertising, but through the foreign exchange.
Okay.
And
so that's where the fees come into play.
There's no fees.
No, but I mean for the
where
bank
we monetize,
or the brokers? Or?
How we monetize is, let's say you want to send $100 to Mexico.
Okay, yeah.
So you give us $100, go online, we have an app you can download, but we receive $100 from you. You tell us the phone number of the recipient. Everybody on the planet has a phone.
Right.
Everybody over the age of 18 on this planet.
May not have electricity or running water, but yeah.
But they've got a phone, right. Exactly. So give us the phone number. That's a unique identifier for every single person on the planet. We take that phone number. We create a token of value. We send that token as a text message to the recipient. So this now works on a $10 phone because all these $10 phones all have text messaging.
Yeah, may not be a smartphone or anything else.
That doesn't have to be a smartphone.
Wow, wow.
So then the beauty of it is we tell the recipient, typically a young mother, that, hey, take this token along with your phone to any one of the following retailers, and we will give you a free bank account. So we either partner with existing banks in those countries, and they all have methodologies to give bank accounts away. There's these things called mobile wallets, which are different than what we call a mobile wallet here in the United States, because in the developing world, a mobile wallet is really just simple text-based mobile banking. So you do simple text messages or...
Like we think of online banking, but for them it's the text version of it.
Exactly.
Where they can access those funds, not in a traditional checking or savings account, but just funds that are sitting there they can access via text?
Exactly. Okay. So the whole concept is exactly what you just said. It's online banking, but very simplified and easy because, again, some of these populations are largely illiterate, but they know that *6 will transfer money. And every vendor, for instance, in Kenya has their phone number up on their kiosk.
Right.
So every street vendor in Kenya literally will take mobile wallet money. So it's really happening very, 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 growing very, very quickly in the third world. I just had lunch with Arun Gore, who is the CEO and owner of Grey Ghost Ventures. And they have an investment in a company in Bangladesh that is I think he said over 15 million mobile wallets. And you've got 16 million in Kenya. So what we're doing with our system, with our architecture, is to that token that I mentioned earlier, we're trying to create this interoperability between the world's clearing and settlement systems. So, for instance, we're up and running on the global SWIFT network. Now, you may not, that's not a common household name to you or anyone else for the most part.
I know a lot about it. I saw that on your PowerPoint earlier today, yeah. But other than that, I've never heard of it.
Or you may see it on the transport trucks. There's a lot of SWIFT trucks out there.
Yeah.
But every time you do a wire transfer, that's running over the SWIFT network. So SWIFT integrates 10,000 banks on a global basis, addressing approximately 2 billion bank accounts. So we're on that network. But how do you get it from, let's say, a banked person to that unbanked mom in Mumbai or mom in Mexico who all she has is a $10 phone? So this is where the token comes in. The token basically acts as a secure means to pass that value, that money, the minutes, the miles to her that she can take along with her cell phone. And now she's got two pieces of information that any bank on our system, which would include those 10,000 banks on the SWIFT platform, will be able to validate that that thing, that token, right, is worth $100 and actually give her $100.
And what's the patent status come into play here?
Well, that's interesting. The patent office is very interesting to deal with. It's another wonderful government invention. But the patent is fairly seminal, we believe. It predates Bitcoin, which your listeners may have heard of.
That was my question for later.
We'll talk about that later. But basically, the patent is all about this token of value. Again, whether it's minutes, miles, or money, anything can be let's say, containerized or tokenized as value electronically. As long as there is that asset that somebody somewhere cares about, we can move it from point to point, a la the name P2P Cash, peer-to-peer, in a very secure manner, even though the token itself might just be a number sitting on as a text message to some $10 phone in Nairobi. So this is where the patent comes in, is we believe we figured out a way to reduce all that movement of cash or anything that's of value electronically from person to person in a very secure manner, meeting all the international anti-money laundering standards, all the international banking standards.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why we've been able to get on these platforms like SWIFT and like MasterCard.
Not as easy as running a radio station. There's a few more moving parts and pieces there. It sounds very complicated.
I don't know. I see a lot of wires here.
That's just all for show.
I don't think you'd want me to try to adjust the sound on this.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. But speaking of patent attorneys, on a side note, we had a gentleman here on Atlanta Legal Experts Radio that's a patent attorney since like the 70s, actually worked at the U.S. Patent Office. And he was telling a story. He put the stamp on the trademark for Saturday Night Live, the show, when it went on air back in the 70s, whatever it was, right? So he knows that side. He worked there forever, so I don't know if it's of any help. Maybe I'll have a conversation.
Little did he know.
Right, I know, exactly, yeah. It's just an odd story. So now talk about your global partners. Who are those folks, and how did you get, you got MasterCard on board?
We've got SWIFT, which is, as I described previously, the network for all the banks. So anytime you do a wire transfer anywhere to any bank in the world, you're riding the SWIFT network, or what we call the SWIFT rails. MasterCard has a separate division from their credit card processing system. And what this division that we're working with has aggregated over 1 billion accounts, bank accounts and mobile accounts, on a global basis in 30 countries that we can send money for free into those billion accounts or directly into those phone accounts. So that took us, probably, when all was said and done, close to 2 years to put that contract together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these numbers are just astounding and mind-boggling. But it's just an amazing service for, I mean, not only maybe third world countries, but just people that are so remote. But like you said, almost everybody has access to maybe not the internet, certainly not a smartphone or all the other mystical devices, but as simple as a text.
Right. That's the beauty. That's the key. And this is where we've spent so much time and energy trying to figure out the intellectual property to be able to put something that was secure out into the wild, so to speak, that it could go as a 16-digit number to a $10 phone in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And but the real magic is on the back end, where we've developed all the security and all the anti-money laundering procedures in place to make sure that money is protected and it only goes to mom. That's the key. We track it from person to person very, very closely, and that's why we add a lot of value.
And one of the unique things is whatever that phone number is, there's only one of that phone number on the globe.
Exactly.
Yeah. So exactly. So talk to us about your competitors. Have anybody else in this space, or is this nipping at your heels, or a Napster version of what you're doing behind the scenes?
Well, there are competitors. There's Western Union. There's MoneyGram.
I was going to ask you about those guys, but nobody really kind of doing what you're doing.
There's nobody using a tokenization approach. Now, Apple Pay is using tokenization. Right. We call Bitcoin a tokenization effort. MasterCard and Visa on the processing side are going to tokenization. So they're using our technology,
right.
or that our patent that is still pending. So right. we really don't have a beef with them until it gets until it gets issued. But in terms of competitors, there's a couple of low cost competitors coming out of the UK.
Okay.
That are offering lower services, lower price services than MasterCard, the MoneyGram and Western Union. But we know their back-end systems. We know exactly what their pricing model is. We know they cannot beat free.
Yeah. And it definitely sounds like you have a jump on all those folks. But the Western Union, I mean, is that are they not going to be put out of business? But it seems like such an antiquated system. Especially for those folks that need to have access to money in Mexico or Lithuania or wherever, right? Istanbul, and they're like, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I think obviously they're based primarily on the physical retail distribution outlets, and maybe 500,000.
That's exactly right. You've done some homework.
I did look at your PowerPoint.
Excellent.
But 500,000, which sounds like an astounding number, right? 500,000. Wow. But compared to your numbers you just shared, it's just a drop in the bucket. I mean,
well, there's two components to this. There's the price, obviously, and Western Union on average charges 10%.
Wow.
So
as opposed to zero,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
so the value proposition on a macro basis is 10% of $500 billion is $50 billion. So we literally can put $50 billion into the hands of people who need it the most, the hardworking immigrant who has left his country to go find a better economic opportunity and who is working his or her butt off to send money home. So we can put $50 billion of value into his pocket. On the flip side, the convenience factor.
Oh, yeah.
So you were talking...
You don't have to drive anywhere or wait for the... It closed. I missed Kroger's closing at 10 o'clock, whatever, yeah.
No, not...
If there's
not
a Kroger in...
exactly. So you don't have to drive anywhere as the sender.
Yeah.
And you don't have to get on a bus and spend half a day as the recipient standing in line at a Western Union shop. We'll put it right into your cell phone.
Which seems like an inconvenience here in the U.S., would it, right? But you reach some of these other countries you mentioned, and it's a massive undertaking. It's in some cases near impossible, right?
Well, you can take up an entire day to go into town if you live in a rural area.
Right.
And then you have to reverse the travel. And if you're a mother with a couple of kids and you're tending a small farm, it's a huge inconvenience.
And in many cases, the method of transportation is your two legs, right?
That's the other thing. We tend to say, oh, yeah, it's an inconvenience for mom to pick up money, but her day spent doing so is just as valuable to her as a day is to us. So it's a major inconvenience. So we're beating the competition on both the price point zero and the convenience with direct deposit into her phone.
I mean, this is astounding. I have a boatload of questions. I've been writing all over the notes here. I want to bring Dan back into the conversation, but beforehand, tell our folks, ways to find out about what you're doing here.
The homepage is p2pcash.com, and that's P as in Peter, the number 2, P as in Peter, cash, all one word, .com. We also have two taglines, sendcashhomefree.com, and we just picked up free money transfer.
Yeah, I saw that. Those are like...
So we think that's going to be the tagline we really hang our hat on. After a sampling of probably 15, 20 people who have asked, which one do you like better, free money transfer or send cash home free, it's been unanimous.
Free money transfer, yeah. Because P2P Cash, I saw your logo. It's kind of cool, but it may not really illustrate what you do. Anytime you can add the word free, radar goes up. And there's so many, it seems like it's almost like, I don't know if I'm coining a new phrase, the free economy.
Well, that's
there's so many internet things that like I'm loading widgets every day that I'm replacing stuff I was paying a monthly service for that's now free. Actually, what's and Clark Howard was talking about this, and I just got my two gadgets in the other day for Free Pop or no, what was it called? Freedom Pop, which is this little device on the floor right there.
Oh, your wireless router?
Router, thank you. Yeah, I just that thing. Yeah, it's radio, and I'm pointing to it. But no, the wireless router and cell phone, and maybe this is an alliance, but they're not global. But it sounds crazy. But Clark Howard's talking about Freedom Pop, yada 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 yada. Went online, got a cell phone and my wireless router. Guess how much monthly the fee is?
Zero.
Yeah. But the word in there is Freedom Papa. Yeah. So Freedom, definitely the free money transfer.
Well, it's the internet model of free applied to a very, very old industry called the money transfer industry.
Yeah. Not that you know this, and you already think I know this, but I think you're onto something.
Thank you.
I stick with this one here. Dan, let's jump back in. I don't know if you have some questions. I have some as well.
Well, I'd like to know, what y'all do to expand the local economy in international business, international trade.
As far as for the studio?
Yeah.
Well, great question. Literally, this is the, we have a list of our show concept ideas on the board, and this is International Business Radio, which is just a beta test, if you will, or pre-launch. And so we're looking for some folks to kind of come on board. We're going to do a few more of these series and then look for someone to kind of host and take it from there. Mm-hmm. So that's where, answer the question, yes or yes?
Yes. And I have a question for Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom, what are some of the countries that you're going to be going into?
Well, right now today, we've just completed a six-month beta test into Kenya with the second largest bank in Kenya, Equity Bank, where they have approximately 11 million accounts.
Wow.
And we've been targeting Kenyans in Georgia, where we're currently licensed. Well over 120 folks who have subscribed, and we've moved approximately 50,000. Not a lot, but we're talking one bank, one state. So it has to be very specific. It has to be somebody in Georgia, a Kenyan in Georgia, who deals with this bank. So but it's been a real nice beta test because we've worked out some of the kinks in the technology, and we've got our customer service routine much more, I would say, honed. So with that, now we're going to work with this MasterCard contract. We're going to implement Kenya first with their mobile wallets. So they have approximately 14 million mobile wallets in Kenya. So we add the 14 to the 11, and there's obviously some overlap there.
Right.
So we'll be in that 20 million plus phone numbers and or bank accounts that we can send money to directly in Kenya. So the whole idea is to try to prototype this all in Kenya, where there is a large penetration of mobile wallets, where we can play out this model, because Kenya is the poster child for successful mobile wallet installation on a national basis. They are the biggest success on the planet.
Wow.
80% of the population has a wallet there.
And what about our neighbors south, Mexico?
Well, funny you should ask that question. And getting back to Dan's question, we are working with another technology company, a well-funded company in California called Ripple, who has an integration directly into what they call the gross settlement system of Mexico. And we literally just got done doing the final testing, technology testing on that last night. We're funding accounts, and we'll be sending money into Mexico for free here within the next 30 days. So that's the big one. That's the biggest.
Well, for the U.S., from
the U.S.
Big time.
But the other countries we're targeting, the top five from the U.S., it goes Mexico, India, China, Philippines, and Vietnam is the number five. And we have a direct connection with the military bank in Vietnam, which is the government-run bank.
Yeah.
We have a funded account, and we're just about to turn Vietnam on as well.
Well, I mean, I'd say those five or two, game over, right? I mean,
well, it's we've done the analysis, and again, Dan brings up a good point. We're a small company. We have to focus our marketing efforts. There's no point in trying to market to 200 countries around the planet when we know that the top five in the U.S. account for a good 30-40% of the market. So we just need to focus on the diasporas of those five countries, and we'll be sitting very pretty.
It's the acres of diamonds principle, where all the diamonds are right here in your backyard. But talk to me about challenges, but first, before that, what about, we'll go ahead and talk about a challenge. I was going to ask you an investment question too, but let's talk about an investment. Are you looking for investors, or where do you sit? Are you going to be on Shark Tank, or can I get in for $1.50? Or
well, maybe more than $1.50. We'd be happy to sell you some stock. No, Dan's helping us in that capacity.
Okay.
And he's been very helpful. I think we met at a Shark Tank, what was
the Shark Attack?
The Ritz Group.
Okay, oh, the Ritz Group.
Yeah,
let's give a shout out to the Ritz Group.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and I saw this concept. I latched onto it. I thought, well, this is great.
Did you pitch at the Shark Attack?
He did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we've had those folks in there right out our window right here.
Yeah, they're very close. And then we've also recently won the Harvard Business School Award for Best New Venture in the Southeast. They flew us up to Boston for the global competition. We came in number two, unfortunately, so we didn't go home with the gold, but we got the silver.
Yeah, but you know some people at Harvard?
I know a couple of people. just a few.
Beyond Dan, and I want to give away the store here, but are you looking for additional investors or?
Well, we are.
You can pass or play on this. I don't want to put you on the spot.
No. We have a term sheet from a well-heeled venture capitalist out of the New York area. But in the process of, until we close that, we're still accepting angel investments.
Okay.
And in fact, we're actually talking to one of the local crowd funding groups here that are taking advantage of the recent act that just passed in Georgia. What's that called, Dan? Do you recall?
Is that the Jobs Act?
Well, there's the Jobs Act on a national basis, but there's Georgia passed some sort of legislation domestically, or I would say within the state. And this group has been founded. I think they're called Finance Georgia.
Okay, yeah, because there's another group we've had conversations with. I think it's called the Georgia Crowdfunding Association. I'm drawing a blank on a name here, but maybe connect you with those as well. But so, what challenges then are you looking at? Are you facing?
Well, it is a we have this wonderful idea free. Many investors don't understand how you can even make money.
Monetize it. Yeah, that was my first question.
Right. That's but then you have to explain, well, we're buying currency. And I think you asked that question, but we never got to it earlier. But we actually buy the currency to be delivered at wholesale rates because banks are our partners.
Right.
So we get what they call the interbank rate.
Okay.
And then we deliver it at the retail rate.
That I can wrap my head around. Yeah,
it's buy low, sell
right, exactly,
high.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the retail customer has no option to ever get that interbank
rate.
So to them, it's like, oh, that's the retail rate. So
the going rate.
The recipient's happy. The sender's happy. The sender typically pays the fees. He's not paying any fees. The recipient doesn't have to travel all day to get the money. It's right in their wallet. So
well, if they traveled the whole way there, they're still going to pay the same fee.
They're still going to get the same exchange rate.
Yeah.
Right, whether it's Western Union or...
So it's free to them.
It's free all the way around.
So that on the front end, correct me if I'm wrong, is your initial revenue stream. The difference, the margin there? Or
the
no?
margin. Our sole revenue stream is the foreign exchange differential from us buying at wholesale rates with our bank partners and delivering at retail rates.
But I'm saying at stage one, but then down the road, you're going to be able to monetize it beyond that. You said not from advertising. Oh, that would be your sole.
That today is our sole form of revenue, but in the future, we plan to have a large database and that we will be gathering information on literally hundreds of millions of new consumers, new financial consumers, people who never had access to financial services before. Now that we see that Dan is sending, $200 back to home to his mom in Mumbai on a regular basis, well, mom looks like a pretty good credit risk for a $100 loan.
And
this is called microfinance or microloans. So we plan on partnering with the banks and offering this database. They call it a big data opportunity because we'll have literally hundreds of millions of potential customers.
And that actually plays into my my next and maybe final question, unless there's any other follow-up points as well. But hearing this entire conversation, I'm sure you get this as well. But what are the issues around... security and data breaches and what have you.
Mm-hmm. We don't keep any of that data.
Because that's right at the bank, right?
That the banking information we do not keep.
Right.
And we have our CTO is the highest level designated internet security professional. I think the acronym is CSSIP or something to that effect.
I'll take your word for you.
Yeah, it's a five-letter acronym.
Nice.
Anything after four, I get lost.
Yeah, after three, I'm done. Yeah.
Right.
even two for VP, yeah.
VP. So everything is encrypted that we do have the data on in terms of who the people are. We use world-class anti-money laundering techniques. We use a company here in town called Ideology that does the background check on all the senders. They're also going to give us background checks on recipients in certain countries. So that's the key to the real concern that the regulators have is not so much fraud. We're not afraid of being defrauded because, you know, we don't really keep the cash.
Yeah, right.
It goes from point A to point B. And because of our tokenization, we can turn this around in 24 hours. So people are happy with that. And we don't retain any sensitive information. So we are an unlikely hacking target. Everything is hosted in the Amazon cloud. So they've got world-class security around their system. So we're in pretty good shape there. The big concern from the regulator's perspective is the anti-money laundering issue. So that's why we are so careful about checking who the sender is. And if we see, you know, aggregated amounts over $10,000, we file reports with the government. So there's a lot of background screening and analysis going on to make sure that it's more of a money laundering concern or a, you know, an anti-terrorism concern more so than, geez, are we going to get hacked for $300?
Right. All right. Another follow-up question before that. Just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Buckhead Business Radio X and Rich Casanova here. Joining us in the studio is Tom Meredith, the CEO and founder of PDP Cash, or more friendly version is freemoneytransfer.com. I mean, that's an easy one to remember and get your attention. And also Dan Moss Jr., ask about senior and his background here if we have time. But the World Chamber of Commerce vice president based here in Atlanta. And this is our special episode of a new show concept in the works for International Business Radio. Originally, the working title, we're not, you know, sold on this one, was going to be Atlanta International Radio. And that acronym would be Atlanta International Radio.
Air.
Air would be on the air. We're on the air, right? But maybe I'll actually, if you don't mind, I'm just going to pick y'all's brain real quick of either one of those two working titles or another one that you would think would be more apropos. The idea with Atlanta International Radio is that it's primarily kind of businesses based here in Atlanta with Atlanta International. We're one of the global, we're obviously a global city. But businesses based here, importing, exporting, are doing business internationally. So we thought, keep it more Atlanta-focused, Atlanta International Radio. But then you don't have the business or the market or the trade. You need kind of the there's no sense of commerce to that, right? You could be talking about, you know, a
sporting event
going on in, you know, Brazil or something, right? But right now, we kind of like the idea International Business Radio pretty much describes it. But I'd like to finish the show, if you don't mind, and just ask y'all either one, like you settled on free money transfer makes more sense. Any thoughts on a show title?
Well, just put the name business in there, International Business Radio.
That's what we're kind of leaning towards.
Atlanta International Business Radio.
IBR. Kind of like sends.
Well,
like
IBR, it sends IBR
like
works.
Yeah, right? Like sends NPR.
Well, the thing is, think globally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously you're going to be bringing in Atlanta-oriented companies,
right,
or else, I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't interview someone on a global basis.
Well, here's what's interesting with our business platform model is we're live streaming right now from our studio in Atlanta or in Buckhead, the center of Atlanta. But as not only this live broadcast, but the podcast lives in perpetuity. So this conversation we're having here today, people in Kenya can be listening to this right now. We have global listeners, you know, from Canada to Australia. And actually, we're going to have a gentleman here from Ireland. We're trying to figure out the time zones too, right? Mm-hmm. So the time difference. But meanwhile, so any other words you would throw in for a working title? The global, we kind of tossed that idea around, but
I like the idea of global. Global is actually different than international.
Yeah, you talked about with the World Chamber and that you have an affiliation. Expound on that.
Well, global includes the United States, Canada, and we're part of the global economy. The international economy is ex-United States.
Oh.
There is a distinction between international and global. So global is more inclusive, and it would bring in the businesses that are homegrown and local.
So global meaning including North America?
Well, Atlanta even, yes. So global includes the United States. International generally excludes the United States.
Or what do we throw in the word world? Right, like y'all did with the World Chamber.
Yeah.
We'll be world.
I would vote for global or world business radio because you got fewer syllables.
Yeah, I know that. I like that exactly. Yeah.
And globe, everyone understands that. World, everyone understands that. Yeah, international is a long word.
And it can be, like you said, a little misinterpreted or
Yeah, international implies foreign.
Oh, okay, right.
When I was in the investment business, there was a definite distinction between international and global. Global included the United States. International did not.
Makes sense. Maybe we just call it World Chamber of Commerce Radio.
Well, you might have to pay us for that.
Exactly, yeah. That costs more than $1.50, yeah. All right, so so I guess my final question is, I don't know if we touched on this, but you in just your last comment, you mentioned something about a 24-hour turnaround, but is that in terms of the banking and the transfer? But what about the consumer? If I'm in Switzerland and I get my dumb phone for $10 and I make I want Dan to send me some money to Switzerland, is that in real time or what?
The transfer of the token happens in real time.
Okay.
But depending upon where we are in the clearing and settlement cycle with a specific bank or country, it could take up to 24 hours.
Oh, so it can vary. And with the dollar or the amount of the transaction?
Nope, the amount
wouldn't affect it.
The consumer protection laws in terms of money transfer states that when you come onto our site or use our downloaded app, that we have to quote you a specific number of pesos that we will deliver to mom.
Okay.
Or a specific number of Kenyan shillings, and that is locked in. So the minute you press the button and say, yes, I'm accepting this contract, we are beholden to get that number of pesos or Kenyan shillings to the recipient. And so that is locked in. So there's no, we bear some of that risk during that 12 to 24-hour clearing and settlement cycle. But in many cases with a long-term customer, we're developing algorithms that says, oh, this guy is sending money twice a month to the same account. We're going to credit his account immediately.
Yeah, there's a history there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But a new guy, we don't know if they're trying to, did they somehow pass our filters?
Right.
Are they trying to scam us somehow? So until we have some sort of history with a customer, when we do, and again, we've got 6 months of operating history.
Right. Yeah.
We've got probably 50, 60 regular customers now.
Yeah.
That the minute they show up, the money is immediately available.
And speaking of money, does that kind of follow the same model of Western Union, or are these policies you've set in place or regulations?
Well, the regulations in terms of money remittal is when you say you're going to deliver 100 pesos, you need to deliver 100 pesos.
But I mean, what is that based on? That's based on just your company policy that you want to install.
Well, that's law.
That's international law, banking. Yeah.
Well, it's U.S. law
for
protecting the consumer.
Sure.
Because if I say I'm going to deliver 100 pesos and I say, well, we had to charge you, mom a fee.
So there's no, oh, by the way.
Yeah, there's no, oh, by the way. So that would be an actionable offense, committed by a money transmitter.
What about limits?
There are limits.
What's the caps? Or is that various?
Right now it's 10,000. Anything above 10,000, we file what they call a suspicious activity report with the government. But in 99% of all transactions are under $400.
Huh.
It's a bunch of small transactions, and this is why we've kind of cracked the nut on this, is that we can do lots and lots and lots of small transactions because we're riding the MasterCard rails, the Swift rails, working with this company Ripple, where we've created so little friction in moving the cash that we can do it for free and still make a decent living.
So that $125K that Dan promised to transfer me for my Tesla, that's not going to happen? For several reasons, probably, right?
Might put a hold on it for a while.
We might have to check out who Dan is if there really is a Tesla involved.
Right, exactly, yeah. All right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure having you all in the studio today for not really the inaugural, but for our beta for the, now we may have a new title, Global Business Radio, GBR.
GBR has a ring to it.
Oh.
I think Dan makes a very valid point. Global, I think, is better than international.
Well, we already have GBR for Georgia Business Radio, so this would be GBR 2 or, I don't know, GBRX, I don't know. Okay, so meanwhile, back to the show. Once again, just a reminder, listeners, as we close out, if you would, best way to find out about y'all's organizations?
World Chamber of Commerce is at www.worldchamberc.org.
Free Money Transfer is at freemoneytransfer.com, or the parent company is P2P Cash.
All right. So once again, Buckhead Business Radio X, Rich Casanova here, your host. Gentlemen, thanks for being here, and we'll see you next time.